record.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay. All right, let's do that again. The committee will come back to order. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Mr. Chair and members, I have Senate File 1334, which requests some resources to assist with the Midtown Global Market, which is a community development and small business incubator. And it's sits there. It's kind of in the context of a pretty exciting indoor marketplace. And if folks haven't been there, I encourage everyone to go over and check it out. It's in the Sears, the old Sears Tower on Lake Street, recently opened and redeveloped at great effort on the part of many, many different parties, Hennepin County, City of Minneapolis, State of Minnesota. Line of Health Systems was a part of that effort, et cetera. Inside that market, we have 50 vendors there selling food, arts, crafts. They represent all the various cultures that live in Minnesota, from Scandinavian to Somali. It's owned and managed by four experienced nonprofit developers. And as I mentioned, this is a business, small business incubator. So a lot of these businesses are startups. They're startups by New Americans, immigrant community. Many of them are second locations. A lot of them got their start at Mercado Central, which is across the way on Lake Street. All the tenants there pay market rent, $32 per square foot, and they pay market rate interest for their financing. The Midtown Global Market, though it's brand new, it represents an extremely exciting revitalization of Lake Street, and the effects have been extremely positive. Crime in that area, folks are probably familiar with that stretch of Lake Street, has been a little sketchy in the past. The whole atmosphere along Lake Street there has changed dramatically, and crime has gone down by 25% in the area. The 50 businesses I mentioned employ over 200 people and are expected to pay another about $1 million in sales taxes, another $1 million in payroll taxes. The bill requests $4.5 million from the legislature to assist in what we're calling a successful launch of what is a very, very ambitious economic development project. Those resources would be used. I should mention that there was $4.5 million at some point in the past in the bonding bill, but that never made it. That's the infamous bill that never made it out of conference committee, and it was not able to revive itself in a future session. The money would be used for a variety of efforts. Part of it would pay down the capital costs of the building. $3 million of the money would be used, which would allow rents to be lowered for the tenants. It would take care of a great deal of that debt. A working capital loan fund would be developed for the tenants, give them a ramp-up period. It would be a deferred loan. Repayments wouldn't start for a year. Additionally, there's some money to help attract a key business. There needs to be a key business, a major business, anchor tenant. About $750,000 of the funds would be used for that purpose. That would be like a grocery store cluster or something that would attract the critical mass of customers to really anchor that market. And then $250,000 would be used for business incubator training purposes to give the small startup businesses the variety of training and knowledge and technical expertise they need to put together a successful enterprise. Mr. Chair, we have a few testifiers. We'll start with Mike Tamale, who's the chief manager of the Midtown Global Market.
Senator Dibble, you mentioned lunch to me just before you came here, and we got this great menu.
The owner of Men's Tortas here, if he could put in a call and probably get a lot of tortas over here for us.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator,
you should have put in the call if you want the bill passed.
Yeah. my cell phone right here.
Deliver?
Yeah,
right?
We deliver.
All right.
We should put the call.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Thank you, Senator Dibble and Chairman Tomasoni. And yes, we have a delivery service. It's free of charge. It's for any business.
Say your name for the record, please.
Oh, my name is Mike Tamale. I'm the executive director of the Neighborhood Development Center and the chief manager of the Midtown Global Market. So we're one of the four nonprofits that developed this project and own the project. A little bit of background. Well, actually, first I want to just mention that I'm here also with Manny Gonzalez from Manny's Tortas Restaurant, Jamal Hashi from Safari Somali Restaurant, and Michael Wright from Golden Time Coffee Shop, all of whom have businesses at the global market. As a nonprofit, we're 16 years old. We have trained over 3,000 low-income entrepreneurs in four-month-long classes. We have financed over 400 of them to get them started. They're mostly startups. And then we provide ongoing technical assistance after they're in business, or business assistance. And we also occasionally do business incubators. So the Mercado Central that Senator Dibble mentioned is a project we did 8 years ago that had 47 startup Latino businesses in it 8 years ago. 80% of them are still in business. So there's an 80% success rate at the Mercado Central with all startup businesses, all new immigrants.
Do they then move out of there and start another business somewhere else, or do they stay right in the marketplace?
The plan is that they stay there and start second and third locations. So, in fact, there have been at least 25% of them have started second locations or third locations. Two of them, a tortilla manufacturer and a tamale manufacturer, have gotten into the Cub and Rainbow and Lund's food chains and are grossing over $2 million a year each and have over 40 employees each. So there's a lot of success like that coming out of that incubator. The global market is also an incubator. So of the 50 businesses that are in there, 25 are startups, having come through our training and financing programs, and another 22 are what we call second-step business. They've had a location elsewhere, and this is their second location. And typically what they're trying to do, and we're trying to do with them in a second location, is access a broader market. So at the Mercado, it's mainly Latinos selling to other Latinos. At the global market, when they come in, whether they're Latino or Somali or African-American or whatever it may be, they're trying to present their product and get sales from the entire mainstream market. So 90% of the businesses at the global market are minority or are owned by entrepreneurs of color. Most of them are alumni of our training programs. We're seeing 3,500 customers a day come in the global market, which is actually quite a bit higher than our projections. We had projected 2,500 a day. And 96% of them have reported on a recent survey to Bethel College students that they have a very positive attitude about the global market and they're planning to return. So we're getting a great sort of buzz and an acceptance. The problem is that a lot of these folks are more wanderers than shoppers, and we need to get sales figures going up. Our sales per customer visit are lower than we had anticipated, and to be honest, what we probably did was overbrand the place as a interesting restaurant and arts and craft place and place to come on the weekend and listen to music, and underbrand it for what we really need as our main driver, which is groceries. So we're trying to build out the last 10% of the space that we have not leased yet. We're trying to build that out with more grocery offerings in two sectors, Minnesota grown and organic, and sort of try to get the co-op scene in. And secondly is the ethnic grocery stores like the Holy Land Delis and United Noodles. And so that's the driver of trying to get more customers in that are shopping more on a weekly basis. We're also working on lots of other problems like improving the parking, training over and over again all the entrepreneurs to have better customer service and better merchandising, et cetera. So the request that we have in front of you would help us with all of that tremendously. And as Senator Dibble said, 2 years ago we were in the bonding bill for $5 million at the House and the Senate side, and then it sort of disappeared on us. And we were hoping for that. We could have had less debt if we had gotten that kind of help back then. So we're trying to make up a little bit for that and put into place lessons that we've learned in our first 9 months in operation. So with that, I'd like to ask each of the three tenants that are here to give a few remarks first, Manny Gonzalez from Manny's Tortas Restaurant.
Mr. Gonzalez, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Manny Gonzalez, and I own Manny's Tortas. We make gourmet Mexican sandwiches, and I have three locations. My first location was 8 years ago in the Mercado Central. My second location is in Lake and 27. And my third location, 8 months ago, in the Midtown Global Market. I guess I just love Lake Street. I think when I started Mercado Central, the area in Lake Street, it was a really bad area. And the experience that I have for the Mercado Central, we changed the dynamic in that neighborhood. And we give a lot of jobs to a lot of people to that neighbor. And that neighbor is becoming a really booming business area. I would love to see the Midtown Global Market become the same thing, even go a little farther, make the global market a tourist destination. It's unbelievable the energy when you go to that market with all diversity of people from all over the world. So I really appreciate if you guys can support this bill. Thank you very much.
This is the first I heard of Mexican sandwiches. I've had tacos.
Yeah, most people don't know, but yeah, this is very unique. Most of my sandwiches are from Mexico City, and that's the specialty. Yeah.
Ham, chicken, breaded steak. Are those all yours?
Yeah.
Turkey.
Cubana sandwich. Uh-huh. Many special. That's the best one.
That's the best one.
got the eggs and Mexican sausage. Is that spicy?
Yeah.
All right.
Most of the sandwiches are spicy, but we can take the peppers out. And
oh, no. I like
like the spices.
I like the spices. Yeah. I like the spices. Okay. Any questions of Mr. Gonzalez? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Chairman. My name is Michael Wright, and members. Michael Wright of Golden Time Coffee, also at the Midtown Global Market. Going on 7 years ago, I had an opportunity to open up Golden Time Coffee on Selby Avenue in the western, I would say the mid part of Selby Avenue, that was a very notorious area, drug-ridden, crime-ridden. And within 7 years, we helped, and I'm very modest and humble, but going by what people say, we kind of turned that area around 180 degrees, if you will. So this is an opportunity for me to go over to the Midtown Global Market, which is a lot larger scope of things. Again, in an area that is that was ridden with some undesirable ways and means of people. I'm glad to be part of this Midtown Global Market to help it come along, as we did in St. Paul, to galvanize a community in a very positive way and a very positive impact. I also started what's called the Selby Avenue Jazz Fest. Again, a way to galvanize a community and bring people out in a reunion type of a feel. And it allows people to open up their windows once again in an area that kept them closed, to call one another and meet on a corner and say, hey, we're going to go down and have coffee or a bite to eat at the coffee shop. And this is also something, a much larger way, that we can accomplish at the Midtown Global Market if we're allowed the help in order to sustain ourselves by an amassing of people that the NDCs have put together, people who work hard and people who are just real people. Brought together by four corners of the globe, if you will. And the common factor here is that we're all people. We basically talk about the same thing, trying to find a good way of living, to be viable in our community, sustainable, and to be viable once again. So I want to thank you for having us here today to allow us to speak to you.
Or are you like a competition to Starbucks and Caribou Coffee and that kind of stuff?
I'm just the tail on a tadpole.
But you do that kind of stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, because I have a story to tell you that way back in 1980, my wife and I came back from Italy, and my wife said to me, why don't we open up one of those little espresso coffee shops like we see on all the corners over in Italy? And I said, Charlotte, nobody in America will buy those little cups of coffee.
Yes. Oops. Yes. I went through the same thing.
There he sits.
Absolutely.
But, Starbucks started in 1984, just yeah. You know, 4 years later.
Mr. Chair, you wouldn't be raking in this huge salary as a senator if you'd done
that. That's exactly right, and I wouldn't be sitting here. Maybe I'd be sitting there testifying.
So, Mr. Chair, you should take a look at page 20. As long as we took a look at Manny Storza's offerings, page 26 in the booklet is... golden time.
Thank you, sir.
If you're interested.
Okay. And who do you have next here?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and the members of the chairman. Well, I'm one of the owners of the Global Market. My name is, first of all, Jamal Hashi, and I'm really nervous right now. I'm one of the Global Market business owners.
You should see what I'm going through trying to put this budget together.
I'm one of the business owners in the Global Market as well. And just like my fellow Global Market entrepreneurs said, you know, we really need your approval on the bill. Because this is the only market in Minnesota that 40 different languages and people from around the world have businesses together. It's just what America is about, you know, having different cultures and everybody come together and work together in just one building. And just in my restaurant alone, we speak 9 different languages, so just to give you an idea that...
You mean like the people who work there?
The people that work for me, yep.
Really?
Yep, 9 different languages.
Does anybody speak the same language?
Yeah, which is English, actually. Everybody speaks English together, but... Beyond that, you know, you get a little bit deeper. But it's a great place, honestly. If anyone of you guys have never been to the Global Market, it's a great place. And you know, we're like we said, it's in a neighborhood where it's just, you know, starting everything up, and it's just the greatest thing that happened to Minnesota, in my opinion, because it's just, you can have breakfast at a place from Latino America, and you can have a lunch at Middle East, you can have a dinner at, you know, Africa. Or even as you choose, you know, you can have a snack from, you know, Scandinavia. So it's actually like going around the world without actually going around the world, if you think about it. And it's a great place, and, you know, we'd like to see your support, because our rents are really, really high, honestly. And, you know, upon approving this bill, this will help us, you know, survive in the near future. So
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Was it Hashi?
Yep, Jamal Hashi.
Mr. Hashi, just because we heard the names of the other restaurants, I'd be interested to know the name of your restaurant so we can try to look you up sometime.
Yep. My restaurant is called Safari Express. It's we have Italian influence in our food as well as Middle Eastern. So what we serve is Somali food. And we were colonized by Italy, so...
I was going to say, you must speak Italian too, right?
My parents do. I don't speak Italian. But, you know, so now we know how to make pastas, thanks to Mussolini, right?
I think that's it. I think that's right.
All right, so thank you for hearing me out.
You did pretty good for a nervous guy.
Page 44, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I got it. I'm looking at it. Okay. All right, any further comments or questions?
I should say, Mr. Chair, Commissioner McElroy took a field trip over there last week, so we should...
We were just talking about that, maybe we should go over for...
Yeah.
We might have, once we get this budget done, we might have some time to actually go over there.
Ms. Jepson can help us out. So.
Yeah, okay. So maybe we can look into that, actually.
Mr. Chair...
We're going to do it around lunch hour if we're going out there in the committee time, all right? Okay, all right.
And I should mention there are, some private, larger corporation foundations and others are interested in matching some of these dollars should they come through.
Are we looking at matching dollars here? Is that what this is?
I don't think it's called out as a requirement of the bill, but there are there already are some conversations and some commitments made to match with some of the various business assistance programs.
Is that something you'd be amenable to as far as putting that into the bill, that there's matches required?
I think that'd be fine.
Okay. Mr. Tamale?
Mr. Tamale can talk about the kinds of potential matches that are under discussion.
Mr. Tamale?
Yeah, we are amenable to that and have sort of ongoing relations and conversations with lots of funders. So they work with us on different things. Some of these line items we've asked you for here specifically are biggest one would reduce the rents in there, and that's not one we're asking other funders for. But to be honest, that one we couldn't match because that's a pretty big number. The other line items for business assistance and for the working capital loan funds, we have those matched already to some extent, not fully, but we can commit to matching them fully.
Okay. All right. Any further comments? Okay, thank you, Senator Dibble. We'll lay this over then for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
We have we had one last-minute request for a hearing, so Senator Higgins, are you ready to come up to the table? We found the big chief.
This would be the amendment. She's going to give us her separate bill.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Chair, thank you for letting us join in your conversation today. We have Senate File 993, and it is an appropriation for a grant to Minneapolis to pay the principal on the outstanding bonds for the Target Center.
Okay, hang on 1 second. Maybe we have to do an amendment here because we don't have the bill in front of us. Is that the deal?
Mm-hmm. Whatever you muttered, Mr. Chair, I didn't hear it.
That's okay. I'm talking to myself.
Okay.
So should we do this? Okay, we're good. Go ahead. Do Senate File 993.
Pardon me?
Do Senate File 993. Go ahead with your presentation.
Okay. I feel like I've come in from another country here all of a sudden.
You're acting like it.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Bourne, who is the Chief Financial Officer from Minneapolis.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bourne.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members. Senator Higgins said, I'm Pat Bourne. I'm the Chief Financial Officer from Minneapolis, which doesn't feel like another world, but I'm happy to be here nonetheless.
We're happy to have you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll get done with that. Let me give you a few minutes of brief overview about Minneapolis and our present financial situation as it relates to Target Center, and then I'll answer questions if I may. The city bought Target Center in 1995 from the then owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. As part of that plan for purchasing the Target Center to keep the Timberwolves in Minnesota, not only did the city agree to issue bonds and pay those bonds from mostly city revenue sources, but the state as well makes a contribution to the city for our contribution to Target Center. We set aside and identify $6 million a year for not only our principal and interest payments on what remained to be $71 million of bonds that are currently outstanding. We also make some contributions toward the building itself, the capital improvements in the building. Most recently, we have identified $14 million of capital funds for the improvement of the building. Building now is 17 years old, and a building like this that gets a lot of wear and tear and is a public assembly, a facility much like any arena, any convention center, needs regular updating on a regular basis. And the city is responsible for that. Until last year, the operation of the Target Center was run by a private for-profit company, and that manager shared revenues with the principal tenant in the building, the team, the Timberwolves, and also booked other events in the building. The manager's responsible for really everything but the capital improvements and the debt in the building. This manager, as recently as 2000, was in a money-making business. They were actually quite profitable. It was a good business to be in. Since 2000, the manager has continually eroded its financial position, and there have been a succession of managers in the building to the point where today the manager, under its agreement with the city, has terminated its relationship in the building, and we are now seeking a new manager. Unfortunately, that means for the city that we are now also in the position of having to increase our financial support for Target Center from the $6 million a year that we've been contributing up to as much as $8 or $8.5 million. Obviously, the results of our selection process, we hope, is going to reduce that amount, but we are looking at now subsidizing a portion of the operation of Target Center. Knowing that this day was probably upon us, we began seeking help from the legislature to write down all or some of the debt that we have issued to finance this building. And I might add the We do appreciate the contributions the state has made, the $750,000 a year. That's part of this $6 million. But even that amount is due to expire in 2009. And yet our bond payments continue until 2024, when the last of the bond payments is made. So we're looking at quite a long-term future of this building. It's certainly a viable building. It's got good bones, people tell us. It, however, does compete with other public assembly facilities in the region, and because of its age, isn't as competitive as it once was. We are certainly going to do everything we can to make Target Center a vital building for Minneapolis and for the region, as it has since it was originally built in 1990. Why don't I stop there and see if there are questions? I'm sure there are some. I'll be happy to answer any that I'm able.
Is any renovation anticipated? Maybe you covered that. I don't know. And I missed it.
Mr. Chairman, we have actually recently, in the last 3 years, set aside $14 million for capital improvements. We've spent about half of that so far on new seats, a new scoreboard, new lighting bands. We are about to replace the roof. Other building systems that are wearing out are being replaced as they need to be.
Is the Twins Stadium is supposed to be near you guys, right?
And just about right across the street.
So
almost.
Is there? I haven't looked at this closely. Are there plans to be connecting the two at all in any way?
Mr. Chairman, great question, and we are certainly working with Hennepin County and the Twins to, in fact, design the best way for pedestrian traffic flow to work in that neighborhood. That, of course, is in the heart of the Minneapolis Entertainment District. It's adjacent to our best parking infrastructure, and it's obviously adjacent to the one end of the Hiawatha line, the North Star Rail line, and other lines as well. So, yes, we are planning to connect both by pedestrian flow as well as other traffic patterns need to be worked out in that neighborhood as the traffic intensity will become much more prevalent in that part of Minneapolis, yes. And not only will some of the infrastructure that the county has set aside to fund as part of the ballpark, but Minneapolis is beginning to consider what sort of other infrastructure that we need to make accommodations for to handle traffic flow, both pedestrian, car, transit, and otherwise.
What kind of plans does Glenn Taylor have? Do we know that, or is he posturing?
Mr. Chairman, obviously, we are in nearly daily conversation with the Timberwolves about the condition of the building. Both the team and its partners have made contributions in this building to the scoreboard, which we have jointly done together. They've also been partners in the new restaurant that's in the building, which on a day like today, we would certainly invite everybody to Minneapolis to watch NCAA basketball and the girls' high school basketball tournament. But Mr. Taylor and we certainly are talking to each other about what the future of this building needs to be, what kind of capital improvements will improve the commercial viability in the building, and what part they will contribute to, and what part the city will contribute to, and what part we can persuade others to make investments in. He's not, I think neither Mr. Taylor nor we are ready to make any announcements about what that's going to be, and you could certainly ask him yourself, but we are absolutely talking to the team and management of the Timberwolves regularly about the viability of the building and what each of us are going to do to ensure its success.
Question? Is he threatening to go to Las Vegas or anything?
He is not. Mr. Chairman, he has not made any of those kinds of team owner kinds of threats. And to his credit and his management's credit, they have not resorted to those kinds of tactics. I would be, it would be certainly not in keeping with how they have positioned themselves here, and not at all consistent with Mr. Taylor's communication with us, either privately or to the public.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just reflecting on the debate we had about the elected Met Council on the Senate floor, and as we contemplate public contributions to other major facilities in the suburban areas, Blaine or Bloomington springs to mind. We got convention centers that we're on the hook for publicly already that are trying to make a good run of it as a larger public benefit. So this whole subject of the Targa Center and its viability is kind of set in a regional framework. And we have major facilities or a metropolitan area of only so much size with only so many entertainment dollars to go around. And so we just need to kind of bookmark this conversation as those other issues come forward in the future.
Bookmark, I like that.
What did you say again?
we really need the money.
It was good.
We really need the money, Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
Book of yours.
I've got to read that tape or listen to the tape. But.
As you probably know, since you're a finance chair, there's limited dollars to go around. And we're trying to put this budget together and figure out what the bottom line is, would some money help as opposed to all of the money? And, I mean, would that be I'm not sure that we'll be able to if we'll even be able to recommend anything, I don't know. But if we are able to recommend something, I don't know if we'll be able to recommend the full amount. So I'm just checking to see if some dollars would help.
Mr. Chair, if you aren't able to do the $71 million, any amount that you can put toward paying down this debt will help the city pay less in their monthly and yearly costs. So just just don't chop us off the list just because you can't come up with the $71 million. I know that that's a significant chunk of your target.
You know what I'd
it's
like
a
to be worth.
It's a LaTois du Nord thing.
Okay, are there
you
any
did
questions?
You did start that coffee shop.
Exactly, I could have been. Okay. Are there any further questions or comments?
Thank you all very
okay,
much for
you,
allowing
Senator
us
Higgins.
To speak today.
I will lay
today.
This over for possible inclusion.
What are we ready?
Okay.
He was better than Hubert Humphrey. Hubert Humphrey would give a talk. You didn't know what he said, but it was sure good. Right?
I just got about 5-6 things.
Okay, we're going to come up with a couple of spreadsheets, and as I mentioned earlier, we've got two types of spreadsheets, and one will be ongoing money that will be feeding the base budgets of the state departments that this division is overseeing. And then the second one will be what we call the one-time money, which is all the various projects that people have been trying to get money, such as the Target Center and the St. Paul's Civic Center, or the River Center, for one-time money. And what you will not see on the ongoing sheet is you will not see combinations of one-time and ongoing. You will only see ongoing money on the ongoing sheet and one-time money on the one-time sheet. So you're not going to see combinations. There are some projects that might be getting ongoing and one-time, but they'll be separated into the two different sheets. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to go through everything that we're funding. We're going to put out some spreadsheets here, but I'm just going to have Dave Jensen explain where we're going and what to look for on these sheets so that you can understand exactly what's there. So, Mr. Jensen, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members, do you have the regular spreadsheet that shows the governor's recs and the Senate recs and the Senate budget tails?
That's this one right here. Okay. All right.
This is a spreadsheet we've used, you know, for many years, and the governor's recs are on the left side, and the Senate recs are kind of in the middle three columns. The budget tails, and then there's a column that shows the Senate over under the governor's rec. And on the right side is just kind of a listing of one-time budget bill recommendations that you'll see in the next spreadsheet. They don't overlap, as the chairman explained, but they're just kind of a list to see where things are at. Basically we did just about everything the governor was recommending. There's a few items I'll touch on that were not recommended or are different than the governor. The governor was recommending about a 2% increase for salary increases. This budget has the full 3.25% appropriated for all of the agencies and all of the funds. In the arts board's area, the increase was $3 million over the governor's recommendation. And you'll find that in the document. Also, for the film board, there's a $1.5 million recommendation above the governor. There were two larger areas that recommendations were not supported, and that's a new program for youth career guides of about $1 million. And then the CESQ Centennial Commission request, $2 million, is not funded in either bill. And if you get to the very last page, you'll see that the recommendations are about $500,000 over the target. So by Monday, we will have to make some adjustments to get down very close to the target. I'd certainly stand for any questions.
Any questions from members? Okay. Then what we'll do is on Monday we'll have an actual language bill with these numbers in it, and there's going to be some policy that will be attached to it also. And we will pass that out of here, and it'll actually get rejacketed and sent to the floor and as a new bill introduction. And then we will actually do the one-time bills, which all I want Mr. Jensen to do here is just to explain what the spreadsheet shows so that you can actually understand what it is, and then you can figure out if what's important to you is on there or not.
Mr. Chairman, members, if you're looking at the spreadsheet that has the shaded lines on it, at the top block there are one-time appropriation recommendations that really came out of the governor's budget. He was also recommending those projects. The numbers are a little bit different. And as you go down the page, you'll see members' bills that were discussed, and the shaded line then is what's recommended for the one-time budget. On the right-hand side, there's two columns which show numbers that are from the members' bills that are recommended for general fund funding in the ongoing budget. And if you page two, you'll see more of those. And page three, there's a $14 million total, but it's not in the one-time budget. So you see $164 million on that line. And then on page four, we also had a lot of bonding projects that came into the division. And you can see those recommendations. There's five of those recommended to be in the one-time budget document. So at the bottom of page four, there's $229 million recommended in the one-time budget. And Mr. Chairman, you had asked about all of the bioscience, the technology, the biobusiness things. And to add that up, we recommended the Biobusiness Alliance $1.2 million. There's a small business growth assistance of $1 million, the nanotechnology of $500,000, and a bioscience lab for small businesses that came out to about $3.9 million. So that's what's in the one-time for the whole bioscience, biotechnology.
Let's see, excuse me, but I didn't, is that in here? It's
yes.
Got to be in here, but I...
It's in there.
Page what?
It's just the four bills that are recommended that are in that general bioscience, biotechnology area.
All right, total of, okay, they're all together as a number.
Mr. Chairman, they're just listed separately, but that's been a concern of the division to do with so many bills requesting assistance in technology and bioscience, and those are the four that are recommended in here. So, Mr. Chairman, that's the two bills. We had probably 150 bills that came to the committee, roughly $650 million that was reviewed, and the budget target was $314 million, $500,000 over, and so we're recommending totally over $640 million out of the division. And are there any questions?
Big numbers. Okay. No questions of the committee? Okay. And what we'll do on Monday is we'll actually have bills in front of us to look at and to pass out and get this to the Finance Committee. Mr. O'Rourke.
Mr. Chair, members, we passed out the two spreadsheets. Our goal is... Senate Council is still working on some language for the actual bill. If we can get that earlier on Monday, I will try to get it to members' offices prior to the hearing, just if at all possible. It may not be possible.
Good luck.
All right.
We're getting your language.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And we'll have, for folks in the audience, we'll try to have copies of language in our office so you could pick that up. As well.
They'll be in Metzen's office, actually, not in my office.
Yeah,
no, just kidding. Okay. No further comments or questions, and meeting adjourned. Thank you all very much for sitting through this.
What did I just see here?
Is that what they're saying?